Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my favorites. How are you guys? It is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. And let's not forget, chronic pain is not just about pain. It is about anything that keeps you stuck, anything that kills your soul, that makes you feel like you're living in a jail of your own understanding, maybe not your own making, but knowing that you are sitting in that jail and have access to the key and somehow you're not turning the lock, that is what chronic pain is. Chronic pain of the heart, of the body, chronic conditions like irritable bowel disease and fibromyalgia and migraines and anxiety and depression. Whatever is keeping you stuck and small and less than you want to be, that is what we are working with here. That is what we are exposing. We're awakening to solutions and we are hanging out together. So, wow, that was a big little intro. Welcome. Hello. So this is Nicole Sachs and I have a fantastic interview for you today. So I found out about Ruthie's journey through my Journal Speak page, one of the places that I have created online for people to gather and get together. If you are a person looking for more support on Facebook, I have a closed group called Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. That is me. And it is a place that people are just in conversation. I jump in there when I can. My instructors, my colleagues jump in there when they can. And a lot of the times it's just you guys helping each other. And when I read through the way people are supporting each other, it's actually quite extraordinary. And I love it. I love, love, love it. So I read Ruthie's, I don't remember if it was a post she did or a comment on someone's post, but it was obvious that her energy was one of someone who had passed through some very difficult times and had come out really triumphant. And selfishly, I wanted to connect with Ruthie and learn more about her because she is a guide for people who want to do backpacking treks in beautiful parts of the country and the world. And that is one of my dreams. I have not yet done it, but I'm dying to go to out west somewhere in America. It would be my first chance to do it, I imagine, because it's easier for me to go there than to go abroad. And to do sort of like a week-long camping and hiking through the mountains. So anyway, that is Ruthie's life. So you can imagine when she started getting pain that started in her feet, spread throughout her whole body, and then caused tremendous chronic fatigue, among other things, that was pretty difficult for her. We're all so triggered by the places that our pain shows up in our bodies and minds because it is obviously a protective mechanism enacted by the brain and the nervous system, but it's a huge bummer when it begins because it makes us terrified that we're not going to live the life that we wanted to live. And that is exactly what happened to Ruthie. And Ruthie's story is a very prime example of the fact that chronic pain is an epidemic of fear and meaning. And when it started for her, the fear just cascaded from one symptom to the next. So you're going to hear all about that. And Ruthie also has a really strong message about elimination diets and the triggers that can cause for people who have had any disordered eating or body dysmorphic disorder. So pay attention for that too. It's a really, really interesting discussion. So I'm very excited to share that with you. If you need more information about my work, my website is thecureforchronicpain.com. My resources tab has general resources. It has frequently asked questions and it has how to journal speak. So that's really, really a great place for you to begin. If you want to do this work with me in person for the most transformative, life-changing week, I don't say that with hyperbole. It's really it's a total transformation, and I've seen people go through it, and it's remarkable. Come to the Omega Institute. We will be there August 1st through the 6th, only a few weeks left to sign up. So please take advantage of that. You will not be sorry. And so you can sign up for that through the link on my website and the retreats tab. All right, my dears. Well, I'm really excited to share this interview. Ruthie has so many gems of wisdom and knowledge, and it was just such a pleasure to meet her. So without further ado, I give you my conversation with Ruthie. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the pod. I am here with Ruthie today. Welcome, Ruthie.
Hey, Nicole. Thank you.
I'm so excited to hear your story for a couple reasons. First of all, because selfishly, I love the way you make a living and spend your time, which we're going to get to. But also, when I read your story, I really, really connect to the way your TMS went nuts. And so anyway, I'm going to hand it over to you. Tell us your story. Maybe like give us medium detail. We don't have to go crazy, but just tell us what happened so we can start to kind of dig into this.
Sure. So my TMS kind of started spinning out of control. In the winter of 2019, I decided to go with my partner at the time. We decided to go and hike the length of the South Island of New Zealand. So kind of like in America, how we have the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail, it's the New Zealand version of that.
Okay.
And so we went and did that. And after 2 weeks, I started feeling this pain in my right foot, kind of at the end of some of our longer days. And it really stressed me out because, like you alluded to, I am a backpacking guide in the Southwest, so in Southern Utah and the Grand Canyon area mostly. And I had to get back to work, and I love my job. So I was just freaking out that, you know, I had this foot problem and it wasn't going to go away. And you know how it goes. I just kind of went down this wormhole and really kind of freaked out about my foot. I stopped hiking. I was still in New Zealand, and I just met up with a friend and we went to the beach to just relax. And that's kind of the opposite of what I did. I just started freaking out because there was internet connection at where we were staying at the beach. And I just, like, Dr. Google was my best friend. I was just constantly on there trying to figure out what was wrong with
my foot. Stab me in the heart with the Dr. Google.
Oh, it gets – Dr. Google becomes like my main hang throughout this. It's terrible. I'm just freaking out trying to figure out what exactly is wrong with my foot. I go to this physiotherapist and she tells me it's plantar fasciitis, but basically Dr. Google told me that it was posterior tibial tendonitis. So I'm just kind of in the middle of nowhere on this beach in New Zealand, and I just start joining all these Facebook groups about tendonitis and like the specific kind I thought I had. And I was, you know, only wearing shoes with inserts all the time, even though I was on the beach, like even in the shower. I just was so consumed by not wanting to hurt myself more and wanting to get better that, I mean, classic TMS, it just took over. And then it was time for me to leave New Zealand. My ticket home was, you know, it was time to go. And my plan was always to go home for a couple weeks and hang out with my family and then go back to guiding. And I'm there for a couple weeks and I start seeing this chiropractor for my foot. And this is not against all chiropractors, but this one kind of, it was that stereotypical chiropractor interaction where basically I felt scammed. Like it's just the negative stereotypes you hear where I felt super just scammed and taken advantage of. Cause he actually had no idea what was going on with me and kept saying he could heal me, but it clearly wasn't doing anything. And I ended up giving him so much money. And I really regret that. And that actually caused me a lot of stress. And then about a month into that, I started feeling pain in my right knee and then in my right wrist. And at this point, I start freaking out way more because
I'd say.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh my God, what's happening with my body? This has to be a systemic thing. This isn't just from hiking. You know, I hadn't done anything to my knee or my wrist. It just happened.
Yeah.
And it actually felt like it was mimicking this time in my life in college where I had these 2 years where the same thing was happening. I remember saying I was very fragile. So I would go on a run like always, and then my foot would hurt after, and I would be in a walking boot for a few months, or I would be doing a yoga class and then kind of tweak my wrist and then be in a wrist brace for a couple months. And my body was very, sorry.
Yeah. So no, I'm saying, yeah, I understand that, 'cause that's very typical.
Yeah. And it was just this period of 2 years in college where I wasn't freaked out about it like I was this time. I was more just kind of like, I don't know what's happening. Just going to the doctors and just going to the doctor all the time and doing the PT, and eventually everything went away. But this time it was back and just kind of in full force. And basically, and then there was all this other stress at that time, because this was March 2020. So the world starts freaking out and shutting down, as do I. And then like all this other stuff is going on in my love life. I break up with that guy because I felt like he wasn't being supportive of me. Looking back, he told me, "What if it's all in your head?" And I just, that was so frustrating for me and literally made me break up with him. But it's kind of funny to look back at that now and be like, huh.
Yeah, but let's take a second with that, because this is a really, really big sticking point for people who are suffering from any sort of a mind-body thing. And I want to bring actual deep connection to the fact that, you know, screw that guy, because it wasn't in your head. No offense to him if you're friends now. But it's not ever in your head. And so I really always, when people bring that up, want to delineate there is a difference between brain science, nervous system science, and the mind-body connection, and the reason that pain is triggered, and someone saying it's in your head, because it never was in your head. It was just fueled by a process that has to do with the brain and the nervous system, but it doesn't mean, because in your head is a synonym for you're making it up or you're creating it, neither of which is ever true.
Totally. And yeah, I really, that's like one of the biggest thing I got from your work and your podcast is like helping make that distinction.
Yes.
Of, you know, it's not in your head, but the solution is not in your body. I use that line all the time, because I feel like that's the biggest thing when I try to talk to people about TMS. You know, that's like the first thing is people are like, "Oh, you're saying it's all in my head." And I'm like, well, that would offend me too if I heard that. But, you know, having that kind of phrase to reframe it really helped me. And I think also really helps when I talk to people about TMS.
Awesome. Good, good, good. All right. Didn't mean to interrupt. I had to say that. So go on. So you break up with the boyfriend.
Break up with him. And then it's a very complicated story, but start seeing this other guy. But this was all kind of during the pandemic. And those 2 weeks that I planned on spending with my parents turned into months because of the pandemic. I obviously wasn't going back to work. And then at the same time, I was in pain, so I couldn't have worked anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But so then I decide to go and live with the new guy who's my current boyfriend now. And he lives in Massachusetts, where I am now. And so I get out here and I'm in pain in, you know, three parts of my body, and I'm fatigued, but things aren't, you know, they aren't as bad as they eventually get. And I get here, and of course everyone's like, "You have Lyme disease." Like, obviously you have Lyme disease, 'cause it's the Northeast. And, so I start going down that wormhole, and, I don't have Lyme disease, and, but I just still was feeling poorly. And eventually there were 11 distinct places in my body that had pain. So I was really concerned, because it just felt so different than when most people have pain. Because when you hear about these rheumatologic diseases and stuff like that, it's like people's joints hurt, or their knees hurt, or their wrists hurt. But it was, for me, it was always one knee or one wrist. And it just felt very bizarre.
Since people are always looking to identify in, why don't you tell us the 11 parts of your body that were hurting at the same time?
Okay, let's see if I can remember all of them. So my left foot, but I had these two different pains. There was one on the inside of my foot and one on the outside of my foot.
Okay.
And then my right knee and my right wrist, my right elbow, my left hip.
Wow, you are a TMSer extraordinaire. You win the award.
So my left hip, my left shoulder, the left side of my neck, and this place on the right side of my back. And I think there were like two more here and there that, thank God, I don't remember them, honestly. But
no, I mean, that's like sort of extraordinary, though. And I really actually appreciate the fact that you realized if one wrist hurts and the other wrist doesn't hurt, something's off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was super. Yeah. And I just had no idea because, like, did I tweak my wrist at one point? Like, is this an injury? Is this a systemic thing? And so I got convinced to go see this functional medicine doctor who, honestly, I have, you know, if I could talk to him today, it would not be pretty. I saw him for a long time because I was so desperate, but, he made things worse. But going in to see him, the first thing he said to me is he, turned the lights off in the room and he shone a flashlight in my eyes and said something about how my pupils didn't constrict like they were supposed to. And he said, you're stuck in fight or flight. And I was like, oh, that didn't really mean anything to me at the time. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, I was stuck in fight or flight. I was just so consumed by trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And, you know, I wasn't working because it was the dead center of the pandemic. And I essentially spent all my time like researching on the internet, trying to figure out what was wrong with me because I felt like I had this sickness and I needed to figure out what it was. And he did all this testing on me. And the first testing he did was like normal, you know, your standard medical lab testing, where he diagnosed me with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune disease of the thyroid. And I was like, this is it. This is why I'm having all this pain. It has to be Hashimoto's. And he was like, you know, your pain isn't really consistent with Hashimoto's. Like, I think it has to be something else. And it's actually kind of interesting in the Facebook group, you know, online forum world, which is really what I turned to at this time. There's kind of this rhetoric in the autoimmune community, but I think specifically the thyroid autoimmune community, where doctors don't know what they're doing, endocrinologists don't know what they're doing. You have to find, you know, you have to see these like specialized doctors to really get your meds right and all this stuff. And I just kind of bought into that and figured, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not helping me, because months and months went by and I only kept getting worse. But I thought, you know, it had to be the Hashimoto's, and it never was. But he also told me that I had to cut out gluten, dairy, and sugar from my diet. Mm, and
yes, the diet.
Yes, the diet. And I really still to this day, when I think about that, I get so angry. The point of these functional medicine doctors is they're supposed to be holistic and, you know, be able to bring in all these other kinds of health into healthcare. And he had no idea about my history with disordered eating. Or, like, he never even asked me. I'm not even saying I mean, I've never really been diagnosed with an eating disorder, but I have had disordered eating and disordered body image throughout my life. And that was never even a question before he brought up, you need to cut these three things out of your diet, which for someone in recovery from an eating disorder or for someone in recovery from, you know, like lesser forms of disordered eating, that can be really, really harmful. And so that just showed that he wasn't, that's just a way of not taking someone's mental health into account at all. And I can't fully blame him because I think that, you know, in our, in the medical model, but also just in our society, where we really aren't taught so much to consider
mental health or history of mental health.
Yeah, mental health. And then specifically, you know, people see, I think, like weight loss is always a good thing. And, you know, cut. And now in this kind of wellness culture world of all these elimination diets and people, you know, cutting out all these foods to figure out what's wrong with them. I think in a lot of ways that can do more harm than it can do good, because we live in a society that, you know, praises thinness, and so many people, or at least I can speak for me, and I'm sure other people had the same thing. I saw these diets as like, yes, I'm going to do this diet because, first of all, food is one of the only things in my life I can control. The world right. is burning down around me. Like, I can control what food goes into my body, and that'll make me feel like I'm doing something proactive to try to help myself. But then also, if I cut out all these foods, maybe I'll like lose weight, and that'll, you know, I just felt this like extra motivation for the diet thing that I had, that I hadn't really felt on any other treatment. And I think because it tapped into this sick, you know, obsession that our society has with being thin and being, and, you know, being beautiful. And I think that the whole, that's so much the pull of elimination diets these days and why so many people are attracted to them, because it's this, I think that it's this guise of like, oh, it's healthy and wellness, but really it's all the same stuff. It's just diet culture. It's just people trying to sell you diets. And it's just another way of, you know, I think us giving up our, or like feeling like we have a sense of control, when for me, all that did was cause me so much more pain and so much more stress. But he told me cut out gluten, dairy, and sugar. And I said, okay, but then I went online and everyone in the autoimmune community is like, no, you can't only cut out gluten, dairy, and sugar. You have to cut out all grains, gluten, dairy, all seed oils, nightshades, legumes, nuts, seeds, and eggs. It's called the autoimmune protocol diet. And I was like, well, if I'm cutting out gluten, dairy, and sugar, I might as well go all in and do this thing. So I went on the AIP diet for 7 months. Wow. And I just want to note here that I was living with my boyfriend, who is a vegetarian artisanal pizza chef. So gluten, dairy, tomatoes, I couldn't have any of it. And then we were living next door to his parents, who are vegan. And it was just, it was horrific. But I believed in it so strongly because I was reading all these success stories about people on the diet. By the way, it was never a full success story. It was always, I've done this diet and it got rid of most of my pain. And then I was kind of like, well, why are you still in the group? Like, you're not all the way better. And so I did the diet for a long time. But I really wanted to share that just piece about these elimination diets and how they can really mess people up.
Let's stay here for a moment, because I've talked about this on the podcast before about these elimination diets. And I'm always so diplomatic about this. And it's not just because I'm trying to not offend people. It's because I really want to tell it like it is. Okay. And here's from my perspective, you know, I'll speak for myself and with my 20 years of experience, take it or leave it. Yes, it is important what you put in your body. Okay, it is. We have all felt the difference between eating whole foods and eating, you know, a sugary snack. It doesn't mean a sugary snack is horrible for you. It just means it makes you feel different, right? So it's not that food is a non-issue. However, huge however, chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. Your story is like a billboard in lights that chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. You know, every single thing that happened to you begot more fear, which created more pain, which is why it was in these 11 crazy different parts of your body. And the diet is a diet of fear and restriction and triggers for mental health issues, everything that you're saying. And I will tell you guys, everyone out there listening, I have worked with people over and over and over again who walk through my door proverbially on some sort of an elimination diet, full of fear, full of panic, full of meaning, full of restriction of their mind and their body in terms of ability to breathe and to feel like they are okay and free. They go off these diets. They end up pain-free through doing the mind-body work. Obviously, it's not just like a, you know, snap your fingers kind of situation. They end up off these diets pain-free from doing this mind-body work and eating everything they want with joy and with moderation and with life. And it is so toxic to fear food. And it is so toxic, as you said, Ruthie, to equate thinness and perfection with being okay, because that is the number one thing that the nervous system is trying to protect you from, the pain of being imperfect. And so it is just so – I love that you brought this up. I wasn't even sure that you would, but I love that you brought this up because this is so important. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there.
Yeah, thanks. I agree. I think it's just – I don't know. It's – I think that, you know – diet culture is the water we swim in. And I think it's hard to take a step back and really look and see that, especially when you're when you have a chronic illness or chronic pain and you want to solve it any way you can. It's just so it's so seductive. And especially if you have like a TMS personality where you're just, you know, you're a perfectionist. Exactly. I totally resonate with what you said.
Okay, so you went on the diet, and then what happened?
So I went on the diet, and at the same time was seeing all these physical therapists and all these people, and I was just spending hours a day doing PT, and I had, you know, all my little balls and my little stretch bands, and I was just constantly doing that when I wasn't sleeping, and I was sleeping a lot. I was super, super fatigued. I was just tired all the time. And yeah, at the same time, I was trying to help my partner start his mobile pizza business. But then at one point, my doctor told me, you actually can't be around flour at all. You can't be around gluten at all.
God.
Yeah. So that was. Sorry. That was so hard because I couldn't make pizza. And then it was this whole thing where I, you know, I had to ask him, you know, before you come home, because he's coated in flour all the time. Before you come home, can you take off your sweater and your, can you get naked and go shower before you hug me? I mean, it was just so bad. It was so low and I was so tired and I just wasn't myself at all. Just still totally consumed by all of this.
I mean, Ruthie, your body was shutting down. And, you know, it's your story is really pretty severe in the sense that your system, one by one, was shutting down. And sometimes I refer to this movie. I don't know if you've heard me refer to this. It's this movie out of Sweden. And I never remember the name, but I should because I'm obviously always referring to it, about these kids who were Syrian refugees. Do you remember hearing me talking about this? Okay, it's a documentary that was nominated for Best Film at the Academy Awards a couple of years ago. And it was just about these kids who are Syrian refugees who had witnessed horrible capital T trauma, who were temporarily allowed to be in Sweden. Their families were taking refuge in Sweden. And during the time that they were there, they were not sure if they were going to be able to stay in Sweden or they might have to go back to Syria. And it's this documentary about these kids that fall into comas. They literally fall into comas. And this documentary shows the whole story of these children who get more tired and more tired and more tired until their body literally shuts down to protect them. There's no medical explanation. They go into the comas. And then there's this amazing story. I always get chills all over myself when I tell it, that the parents get this letter from the government finally approving that they can stay in Sweden for their full asylum. And the kid wakes up
Oh, my God.
The kid who has been non-responsive and on a feeding tube for 18 months. The parents get this letter and their energy is just, they know. The kid has not even opened the eyes for 18 months. She wakes up and she's fine. It's crazy what the body will do to protect us. So what I'm hearing in your story is like, you were so terrified. You were so stuck in such high fight or flight. Your body was literally shutting down.
Yeah, I think so. And I felt that from the beginning, like, you know, my body's shutting down. I'd say my body hates me. I don't know why this is happening. But never in my mind thought it had anything to do with stress or, you know, TMS. I mean, that was not even a concept in my mind. I you know, my mom's a doctor. I really I just always have tried to, you know, I grew up in like, not grew up, but I have been around, you know, since college, these very like woo-woo hippie communities and have always been like, I'm a scientist. Like, I'm not that. You know, I'm this, you know, all that like brain stuff is so woo-woo, which looking back, I just cringe because I think that, you know, our culture separation of mind and body is just it's the problem, yeah. In so many ways. But I definitely felt my body was shutting down, but always thought it was because I had some rare illness or it was the autoimmune disease or something. And, you know, one doctor told me I had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. I took this test that showed that I had, it was like a heavy metal toxicity test, and it showed that I had a lot of tin in my body, which no one knows like how I could have gotten a lot of tin, but then everyone made fun of me and called me like the tin woman.
Oh God.
but yeah, I mean, I just still at almost a year, I still had no idea what was going on. But then the Facebook gods did something good for once, because I was on all these different Facebook groups for, you know, all those things I just listed, all the different tendinitises and the autoimmune stuff and the diet stuff and whatever. And I get this ad for Curable, which I think just happened because of the algorithm. It just saw that, you know, like, this girl's sick. She needs,
right.
She needs something. And, so Curable has a little free trial, and I just listened to it and was like, huh, this is pretty interesting. Pretty low stakes. I'll give this a try. None of the other stuff I'm doing is working. And then through Curable, just learned kind of about what TMS is, just the basics, who Dr. John Sarno was, and kind of started doing some sleuthing online. The first thing I did was I ordered Howard Schubner's
Unlearn Your Pain.
I can't remember the name of his book.
It's Unlearn Your Pain.
Unlearn Your Pain, yeah. So I got that, and I read the beginning of it. So the beginning is kind of the science, the brain science and the theory, and then the ending is the journaling part. So I read the first part and I was like, this is so interesting. I can really get behind this. And then right before I got to the journaling is when I found out about you and your podcast. And when I found out about Journal Speak, I was like, that sounds way better than writing all of this down in a book that somebody could find. So I started Journal Speaking instead. And I, you know, like in my TMS personality fashion, just said, every single day I'm going to do this. At that point, I was already meditating an hour a day, so I would journal and meditate. And I mean, in 2 weeks, my pain was 90% gone after doing Journal Speak for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your Journal Speak process, because I know that a lot of people who listen to this podcast are stuck. That they can't, they feel that they're blocked from what they need to get to. So just, I don't know. I mean, you don't have to share anything personal, but what was it? That's intense. 2 weeks to get you 90% better, which, by the way, although I don't want anyone to feel bad if this is not their story, it does happen. Because when you really allow yourself to be immersed in the process and to really let go of the need to hold on to any of your resistance, which you must have done, Ruthie. So I don't know. It does happen. So tell me about your process.
Yeah. Well, I just remember I was really able to convince myself that it was TMS really fast because I listened to so many podcasts and I was reading so much and I just saw all these other success stories that sounded like mine. And it just made way more sense than anything else. So I basically just decided I was going to believe it. And I think that was the biggest thing.
Yes,
on
that's so big.
On top of the journal speak. Because I remember I would just wake up in the morning and I would take, you know, and every morning before that, I would wake up and take my first step and be like, does it hurt? Is it going to hurt? Oh my gosh, it hurts this much. This is so bad. And then it changed from I would get up and just walk a little bit and be like, oh, my pain's there because I woke up on like super high alert. Like I have TMS, you know, I just developed this kind of relationship with my nervous system where I was like, you're so cute trying to protect me. Like, I'm fine. Like, I don't need your protection. And I would just kind of have this conversation going on in my brain. Like, I don't like, yeah, okay, you're trying to cause me pain and that's fine, but I'm still gonna, you know, walk to the kitchen, get my water, go downstairs and do my journal speak and meditate. And I'm not gonna give it as much anxiety like I did before. I wouldn't let the pain, you know, signify as much as it did before.
That's actually really, really key. So what I hear you saying is yes, journal speak, because you need to get to the stuff, but first and foremost, believe. I mean, guys out there, I am telling you guys something. What Ruthie is saying and the ability to turn her life around in this dramatic fashion after, I would say, a pretty serious case of TMS is because she made a decision. The nervous system is like a switch. When you flip it from fight or flight to rest and repair, pretty immediately stuff starts to calm down. And when stuff starts to calm down, the pain signals stop firing because the pain signals are important to distract you from the things, the fear and the things that your nervous system deems too dangerous to think about. So I think that you make a great point, Ruthie, which is like your belief was solid and you did it by saying no more. You know, you just said no more. I'm not living this fear-based life anymore. And it's just so awesome. It's just really great.
Thanks. Yeah. And I will say, you know, it took a long time for me to have to 100% believe in it. Even after I got, you know, 90% better or basically 100% better, I still was like, you know, maybe the diet did work or maybe I, you know, this was just a phase and it went away or I was having a flare up or went away or whatever. And like, that was always kind of in the back of my mind. But now I'm at the point of full belief
What do you think brought you over that bridge? And I often say it's because you let your body be your proof. Was that what brought you over the bridge to full belief?
Totally. And I can actually tell you the moment. After getting better from doing journal speak, I was like, I'm going to go back to guiding. This is what I love to do. And I'm ready for it. I really think I can do it. I have to at least give it a try. And I told my company that I was coming back to guide, and this was this past spring, so just a couple months ago, and I started guiding. And on my first backpacking trip, which was a 5-day trip, 60 plus miles. As guides, we carry really, really heavy packs, like 50, 60 pound packs. So it's very physically intense. And I was so nervous before the trip because, again, all those thoughts were coming in my head. Did I really fix myself? You know, is this just going to mess me up again? And I'm going to have to go through this whole thing again. You know, am I really ready to come back? And then I went on this trip in Southern Utah in my favorite place in the entire world. And I was just walking for days and did not feel pain. And that was such a pivotal moment for me, because that was the aha moment I needed to just prove to myself that, yes, like all of the journal speak and the hard work of just adapting this new framework totally paid off, and it's real. Like it's the truest thing I've ever known. It's so real. And that moment for me was just huge. And I actually think that not only was it my body being my proof, but also it was the fact that I was immersed in nature for 5 days. As a guide, I see it happen to other people. And I've always noticed this where, you know, people come on these trips and they're, you know, sometimes at the beginning, they're high strung because they're nervous about the trip, or they just have a really stressful kind of high strung lifestyle. And then you slowly see, and it's usually at about the 3 day mark, you see people just shift into these, they go from being stressed out to just being calm. And, you know, when you have no phones, no screens, no walls, no doors, no anything except beautiful vistas and the group of people that you're walking with, I just see people like their stress go down immensely. And I think that the combination of the mindfulness that you can attain from being, you know, immersed in beautiful nature combined with you know, all this journal speak and TMS work that I had done before, the mixture of those things, you know, the mindfulness that I attained through being in nature helped me just access that better. And I think that there's a really powerful connection there. And I really am looking forward to kind of blending those two things together in the future. And I know I'm not the first person that you've interviewed that has been inspired by your work to go on and, get their master's in social work, but
yeah, a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very much what's happening in my life. And right now I'm working on applications, so I'm going to be starting next fall. But that's amazing. I'm really excited. And I also think that trip I did where I was able to prove to myself that, you know, my pain was gone, that is actually really inspiring me to think about a career where I can blend those two elements and help people put an end to their pain through nature. I have a lot of ideas there, but that's kind of how I want to sum it up. But yeah, I think that those two things together can really kind of reinforce each other.
Okay. I have things to say. The first thing I want to say is, like, 100% I'm obsessed with nature. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, I love what you do for a living. And I really, my life is so hectic. The thought of getting away for a week, it just feels impossible at the moment. But it is such an intention for me to do one of those trips like once a year. Like I just think it is so amazing to be in the space of nature. I get outside in nature every single day. It's part of my spiritual practice. It's part of my mind, body, health practice. So I'm 100% hands in the air for what you're saying. That's first of all. But second of all, in terms of the clinical conversation, I want to tell you, and I want to tell anyone listening, that the reason you had no pain on that trip, even though you were nervous and you were anticipating with some level of trepidation that amount of exertion, was because of your journal speak practice. So that's why I say there are three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. Because as Dr. Sarno said, we'll just do a brief recap of theory. We each have a reservoir inside our bodies, and it's almost like you can picture a clear science beaker, like living inside of your gut up to your chest, that has in it stored from a lifetime of being a human being, rage and shame and fear and grief and sadness and regret and embarrassment and conflict and all the things that we carry around. Terror, terror, terror. And it lives inside of you, because that is just the state of the human condition. When we do journal speak, what we do is we put a ladle into that reservoir and we dump it off. Every day we dump it off. We feel into the things. We feel the grief. We connect with our stored trauma. We release our shame. You know, we feel our rage, which is so human and normal and natural to feel. The reason you didn't have pain on your trip is because you probably, I imagine, did a really great job of fighting your resistance and fighting your fear and being in that journal speak practice every day so that your reservoir was so low that it wasn't going to bubble over and reach maximum density and trigger a symptom. Because that's all that's happening. TMS and the pain in our bodies is totally safe. It's not going to kill you, but it's going to really reduce your ability to live because it's trying to protect you from these things that it doesn't think you can feel. When you go in and you allow yourself to feel these things and know that you're going to be okay because you've listened to enough podcasts or read enough books or all the things I tell people to do in order to believe, then you are able to have those kind of free lives where you can go on a trip like that, even with the accompanying fear, which could have, if you didn't have a reservoir that low, could have put you over the edge, but it didn't. So I just want to label that for what it is because it's so important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also want to clarify, I still do. And I mean, I think even on that trip, I do get these little twinges of pain every now and then, but I think about it so differently. And then it, you know, the way I think about it makes it go away. So basically what I've kind of, from psychoanalyzing myself, I think that just throughout my life, I've been so used to being, you know, in that baseline fight or flight mode that in a way I feel like my brain is kind of addicted to it. Like it's really easy for me to slip into that brain pattern and just, you know, start catastrophizing or start worrying or whatever it is, right, even if there's not really a huge problem. So now when I feel pain, I see it now as my little friend, and I see it as a way of just reminding me or just pointing out, hey, you're dipping back into that fight or flight mode, or you're dipping back into that stress and catastrophizing. And it's just there to be like, hey, snap out of it, or like, hey, go do whatever you need to do to get out of that. And then I listen to it and then the pain goes away because I feel like it's done its job. And So like everyone, when I first started listening to your podcast and heard people say that they were grateful for the pain, I was like, that is impossible. I don't believe these people at all. And now I'm totally there because not only was I grateful for that experience because it helped me find TMS and journal speak, and I feel like that's just made me a better person and kind of set me on this life path, but also I'm grateful for the pain that I still have now. Even though it's the same pain that I had, you know, it's in the same places, I'll still feel it in my foot, in my left foot or in my right knee, but it's just for a second or it's just for a couple minutes. And it's just saying, hey girl, you don't need to stress out that much. Like everything's fine. Why don't you just, here, I'm reminding you it's okay. And like snap out of it. It's cool.
And I'm going to tell you, Ruthie, what you're describing is exactly what happens to me. You know, I often tell people, you want to feel good about yourself? I'm the guru of this shit. And I get the same thing. I'll get a twinge in my neck. I'll get a little burning in my mouth. I'll get a feeling in my right hip and I'll go, oh, hey, love. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that it's a lot right now. Thank you for reminding me that maybe I have to get back to center. Maybe I need to go take a walk in nature. Maybe I need to get to my journal speak. Thank you for loving and caring about me because life is hard and I've got a lot to feel, and the pain immediately goes and then I can take care of myself. And it is just a beautiful dance between mind and body. I often say there is no cure for the human condition. We're gonna feel pain. But if you see it as a partnership with your mind and your body, allowing you to be the best you can be, live your best life, feel into everything, not have to run and avoid, then it just becomes, like you just said, it's just a relationship and it's a really nice one.
It's so amazing. And I'm so excited about helping bring this to the world more because I'm obsessed with it and like won't shut up about TMS to anyone that will listen to me for 5 minutes. Like I always find a way to bring it up. And I'm just so excited that I've really, it just feels so right for me to keep going with this, you know, in schooling and, you know, for a career. And I'm just so into it and I'm so grateful for it. And I'm so grateful to you. I mean, I remember just binging your podcast when I first heard it. And it was just, I just felt like my soul was being fed. And I'm so in love with this. And I really think that it's the truest thing I've ever known. And there's so much work that needs to be done to get the word out and get the message out. But I'm just so passionate about helping to do that. And that's why I'm so happy to be on this podcast and show other people that it's so possible. Like I went from not being able to walk a half mile to walking, you know, 60 miles with a giant pack on, with a huge smile plastered on my face, taking care of 6 of my clients and cooking them 3 meals a day and filtering their water and just feeling on top of the world. And it's all because of like, I don't know, 4 or 5 people like you and John Sarno, and then like 3 of the other doctor's books that I read. And I am who I am now, and I'm back to myself, and I couldn't be more grateful.
Wow. Ruthie, I love you.
I love you too.
This is awesome. Well, thank you so, so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on the podcast. And I know you're going to be an incredible helper and counselor and social worker and whatever it is you become, you know, combining it with nature, combining it with whole body health. And please keep in touch with me and let me know how it goes for you.
I totally will. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming and thank you guys all for listening. And if you are enjoying the podcast, I do ask you from my heart to go over to iTunes and rate and review it, because like Ruthie said, and like I say, so many people need to hear this. This is a message that everyone needs to hear, because even if not everybody will pick up what I'm putting down, a lot of people will, and it will change their life. So I send you big love. This is Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.